Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section.
Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Mem Zion, the book of Isaiah, chapter 47. From the salvation that will be brought to the Jewish exiles by God's Persian messenger, and the necessary steps required for the exiled Jews to take to prepare them for their redemption, which is essentially what we've seen in the last few chapters, talking about Koresh and about the inappropriate worship to God, which the Jews sort of had to get their act together on. We now turn to the opposite side of the coin, because where one nation is saved from an oppressor, one oppressor is laid low. Redi ushvi al afar betulat bat bavel shvi laaretz ein kisei bat kazdim kilo tosifi yikulach raka va'anuga. Go down, sit on the dust, maiden and daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a seat, daughter of the Chaldeans, because you will no longer be called gentle and pampered. The young maiden of Bavel, this Betulat Bavel, or Betulat Bat Bavel, is of course a metaphor for the nation of Babylon itself. It's a symbol that's often used at times when a city or state is coming towards its destruction. And we've seen it in Tanakh used for Betulat Bat Sidon, for the Zidonese, Betulat Bat Zion, for the people in Zion, Betulat Bat Yehuda, and others. And the image is the nation's inability to have its own independence, and its land and its home and its power are all gone. There is also in the assertion that the nation will no longer be called the gentle or pampered one, or that the girl will no longer be called gentle and pampered, a sense of the fact that part of what the problem was in this nation was this overweening sense of self. On a historical note, sort of a side point, the Chaldeans, who are the Kazdim, were actually Semites from Aram, which is in Syria, northern in Lebanon, Syria, and they migrated at some point in the year 2000, around the year 2000, which is a few hundred years before Avram comes on the scene. They migrated to Mesopotamia, the northern area between the Tigris River and Euphrates, but they were not wanted by the people who lived there, the Assyrians, so they drove them south. And then when they went to the more southern area of Mesopotamia, which is Sumerian and Akkadian, they didn't want them there either, so they kept getting pushed further and farther south, until finally there was nowhere to go except for the marshes of what is now southern Kuwait as it bleeds out into the Persian Gulf. Merodach Baladan ben Baladan, the one who Chizkiyahu showed all of his treasures to, or in foreign language, Marduk Apaladina, was a Chaldean. And in fact, Nebuchadnezzar and his father, Nebuchadnezzar, were also Chaldeans. They assumed the reins of power in Babylon. That is, they weren't the only ethnic Babylonians, but they assumed the reign of power in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's the second's father. And then they ruled over the empire, which conquered us and burnt down our temple, even though the empire really didn't last very long at all, only 70 years. Continuing on. Kachi rechayim v'tachani kamach gali tzamatech chespi shovel gali shok ivri neharot. Take up the grindstone. They used to have these hand-sized grindstones for women to use. Don't forget, metaphorically, we're talking about this maiden of Babylon. Those are in addition to the huge ones that you see when you go and tour around the land of Israel, but they had small ones as well. And she's told to grind flour, or really grind wheat into flour. Take off your hair veil, pull up your skirts, and reveal your thighs in order to cross the river. Notice the play on the word gali, which is used twice to uncover. It also indicates a galut, or an exile of Bavel that will soon be leaving their country. And the sense is that this woman has to essentially pull off her scarf and pull up her cloak in order to be able to cross the river. And now they must prepare bread for essentially a forced journey overall acting in very ignoble ways for their first for this forced journey, for this exile, and the ignominy gets worse. Tigal ervatech gam tiraech erpatech nakam ekach veloefka adam. Your private places will be revealed. Again, we have the word gala connected to the idea of exile. Now, I've translated erva as private place, not just because I'm trying to be polite, but it's actually sometimes used in this sense. That is the secret places of a country or a city that make it vulnerable to the enemy, which is how Yosef uses it when he accuses his brothers of coming to Egypt to spy out a good way to conquer it. But getting back to the pasuk, your shame will be seen. I, that is God, will take vengeance, and no one, v'lo efka adam, and no one will interfere. And now it seems that Israel joins in the call that God will bring Bavel low. Goaleinu Adonai Tzvot, Shemo Kadosh Yisrael. Our Redeemer, the Lord of Hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. I mean, they're not focused on the destruction of Bavel. They're really focused on the fact that they'll be saved because of the destruction of Bavel. I should point out that this particular name of God, Kadosh Yisrael, we've seen it quite a bit in Sefer Yeshayahu. It's really fairly common there. And what's interesting is it's fairly rare in other books of Tanakh. I mean, almost really unheard of in other books of Tanakh. Perhaps it's connected to the way that Yeshayahu himself perceives God, as he stated in his inaugural prophecy in chapter 6, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. So maybe that's just his signature, but there's probably more to it, and it probably deserves further analysis, which... sorry, we won't be doing here. Shvi dumam uvoi bachoshech bat kazdim ki lo tosifu yikru lach giveret mam lachotz. Perhaps this is Israel speaking, or perhaps it's God who comes back into the picture and says, sit in silence, enter the darkness, daughters of the Chaldeans. Indeed, you will no longer be called the mistress of kingdoms, i.e., the respect that has been given to your empire because of your status will come to an end. And now God is surely speaking in this pasuk, Katsafti alami, chilalti nachlati, va'etenem biyadech, lo samt lahem rachamim al zaken hichbadet ulech me'od. I, God, was angry with my people. I destroyed my heritage, and I put them in your hands. But you gave them no mercy. In fact, the elderly, you made an even heavier burden, a heavier yoke. Here we see something which was stated about Ashur, and in fact was stated about the original Egyptian exile back in the Torah, in the book of Shemot, in the book of Exodus. That is, there's a difference between a conquering nation and an oppressing nation, between ruling over people and ruling over them with tyranny. So God sometimes brings other nations to take the Jewish people down, but when those other nations take it to the extreme of tyranny and oppression, that's where God becomes vengeful. And God sort of explains why nations think that they can't get away with, why they think they can get away with this tyranny. Vatomari la olam heyeg givaret. Ad lo samt eila ali bech lo zachar tacharita. You, Bavel, said, I will always be the mistress, which made you not think about these. Ad lo samt eila ali bech. I think that means the eila, these, I think it's referring to the nation of Israel. That is, you don't remember lo zachar tacharita. You don't not remember what will be her end. That is, there will be a positive end for her. That there's a limit to how much you will be able to control her. Now, I translate the Eila and the Ah of Acharita, those pronouns as referring to Israel in the feminine. And it's possible that the reason why Hashem is using those pronouns is he's sort of making fun of Bavel, that they didn't even recognize her, i.e. Israel, as human. It's like somebody saying, oh, I never did anything with that girl, or I never did anything with that guy. The word that conveys a certain derision. Not so much a dehumanization, but turning someone into sort of a faceless nobody, nothing to be concerned about type of person. There are other possibilities for the antecedents of these pronouns, the pronoun Eila and the Ah of Acharita. And if you want to look at the commentaries, you'll see that there's a nice range and a lot of other very fine possible interpretations, but I'll stick with the idea that you didn't pay attention to your charges, so to speak, to the Jewish people. Va'ata shim'i zot. Notice, by the way, all the verbs are feminine because the metaphors that this girl, this young girl of Bavel, represents the nation. V'ata shimi zot adina hayoshevet lavetach ha'omera bilvava aniv afsiod lo eshev almana lo eda shechol. And now listen to this, O delicate one, who dwells in confidence, who assures herself, it's me and no one else. I will never be bereft of a husband. I will never know the loss of a child. I'd like to interject with my own thought here. I'm not sure if Yeshayahu is saying that it's this sense of national superiority and egotism that causes the tyranny, causes the suppression and the oppression of other nations, or whether oppression and suppression come from another source and the sense of egotism and superiority is merely what enables them to get away with it, or think they can get away with it. V'tavona lach shtei eile rega biyom echad shechol ve'almon ketumam bawe alayich. Berov kshafayich be'atzmat chavarayich me'od. However, both of these will come simultaneously or suddenly in one day. Loss of child and loss of husband. They will completely overcome you even in the face of your many enchantments, kshafayich, and the extra powerful spells, chavarayich. The prepositional phrase berov kshafayach beatzmat chavarayach ma'od, I don't think it means that you're being punished because, or you're going to lose your husband and your daughter, you're going to be bereft because or due to your reliance on magical things and sorcery and that kind of stuff, but it's in spite of your reliance on these things. Chavarayach, chever is a spell. It doesn't come from the word chaver, which is a friend, as in the anti-witchcraft commandments that show up in Devarim, Deuteronomy, Perek Yud Chet, chapter 18. There, the pasuk reads, Lo yimatse v'cha ma'avir b'no uvito va'esh, kosem ksamim, onem menachesh mechashef, the sorcerer's acts, v'chover chaver. There are those words, v'shoelo v'yidoni, asking of the dead, v'dorei shalametim. As a complete aside, now I'm off the off track. I went off on a track, and now I'm off on another off track. As a complete aside, one might wonder why passing one's son and daughter through the fire is here in Devarim, connected to all this witchcraft stuff. Lo yimatse b'cha ma'avir b'no uvito va'esh. But there seem to be two different types of rites where a child is passed through fire. One is where he's actually sacrificed to the god Moloch in a fire ceremony. And the other is apparently where a child, a boy and a girl, is passed through fire but lives. It, apparently some kind of rite of purification or based on its collation with these other kind of magic works and prophecy, and not prophecy, but soothsaying. So maybe the idea was to sort of get a sense of his future, would be able to be told by the way it was passed through the fire. The child was passed through the fire. Anyway, back from our off tracks, back to the actual psukim. V'tivtachi b'ra'atech amart ein ro'ani. Chochmatech v'da'atech hi shovavatech. V'tomeri b'libech ani v'afsi od. You put your trust in your own evil, your own wickedness. Obviously, they didn't think it was wickedness, but from God's perspective, all of this magic work is wickedness. You said, or thought, no one can see me, ein ro'ani. Or perhaps no one is great enough to understand, ein ro'ani, nobody can understand me or no one is a match to my knowledge. For the use of ro'eh as to understand, so it appears quite often that way in Kohelet. And even in the modern English, to see can also be used in the sense of to understand. But getting back, your wisdom and your knowledge, in this case, the knowledge of witchcraft, of sorcery, so maybe instead of knowledge, we should translate it as sciences, quote-unquote, caused you to go astray. And now repeating the opening verse in verse 8, where God is speaking about the way that Babel is misbehaving, you said to yourself, it's me, there is no one else. That is, there is no one else who can match me. Ani ve'afsi V'afsi'o, there is Ephes Kamoni, there's no others like me. Uva alayich ra'a, lo teidi shacharah, v'tipol alayich hova lo tuchli chaperah, v'tavo alayich pit'om sho'a lo teidai. And when the bad thing comes to you, you won't know how to pray for relief. Shachara, to pray for relief. When the troubles fall on you, you won't be able to pay your way out of it. Kapira, to get kofar. It will come suddenly, devastatingly, you will not know. Although here it could be the word yada, lo tedi, is not so much you will not know, but a play on the knowledge of the previous verse, that massive wisdom, that is, your knowledge will not be able to protect you from that, or even predict that which is what is about to happen to you. Imdina b'chavarayich v'rov k'shafayich b'asher yaga'at min urayich ulai tochli ho'il ulai ta'arotzi. And now God says mockingly, so, stand up now. Take up your spells and enchantments that you've wearied yourself from your youth. Maybe that will help. Maybe they'll give you strength. Nil eight berov atzatayich yamduna v'yoshiyuch hovere shamayim achozim bakochavim modiim lachodashim me'asher yavo alayach. You've exhausted yourself with all of your plans, or perhaps here the word atzai is wisdom, all of this magicking. Let the astrologers stand up and save you, the ones who see future of the stars, the ones who tell month by month what will come upon you. This is of course, a very harsh criticism of the use of astrology, and probably we need to be mindful, and we won't be able to solve the problem here, but we do need to be mindful that astrology was recognized in Jewish thought. In fact, the Ibn Ezra held by it. It was the science of his time during the 12th century, and he held by astrology. So I looked in the Ibn Ezra to see if he would say anything here, because it's a really harsh condemnation of astrology. But he doesn't really say anything. He doesn't take it on. What he does do is offer an alternate syntactic construction to the construct of the verse. And therefore, he really provides a slightly different meaning to the verse, which reads very well. He takes the Me'asher Yavo Elayach and says that it's modifying the Yoshiyuch. So therefore, it comes to mean something like this. The ones who tell you from month to month, let them save you, Yoshiyuch, Me'asher yavo elayich, from that which will come upon you. And that actually fits a little bit better. Hine hayu kekash eish serafatam lo yatzilu et nafsham miyad lehava engachelet lachmam ur lashevet negdo. Behold, there, most likely referring to the astrologers and magicians, not to the entirety of Babel, as we'll soon see, hayu, they will be, that is, the astrologers will be, their burning will be like the fire upon the straw. They will not be able to save themselves from the blaze. Not even a coal will be left for warming on or for one to sit next to its glow. What that means is the work of the astrologers will be so useless and so rejected that no benefit will be derived from it at all, neither heat nor light. Kain hayu lach asher yagat socharayich min urayich ish le'evro ta'u ein moshiach. So will be all those you tired yourselves for, spent your wealth on them from your youth. That is all the money you put into this quote-unquote science of astrology to be able to tell what will happen to you. Every one of them, that is those astrologers and magicians, have turned aside. They have erred, and they will not save you. And what's interesting is that the words Yagat and Sochrayach go back to the earlier chapters where we were referring to Mitzrayim and Kush, and the idols of Mitzrayim and of Kush and of Sheba and of Sheba. But there, where they spent all their money on making idols, here they spend all their money on training their astrologers and training their sorcerers in this pseudoscience, which would bring them absolutely ein moshiach, no salvation whatsoever.